prefer?
Another R&D Musashi session.
Just in general. Yes. What weather do you prefer, hot or cold?
I prefer cold because I'm not. I don't handle the heat well. I sweat a lot.
Don't you live by the beach?
Yeah.
What?
I like it hot.
You can always. Hey, it's easier to warm yourself up, I think, than it is to cool yourself down.
That is very true, but I prefer the beach, and I prefer exercising in hot.
Any chance that you just get your gear off, I think, for you, that's why.
100%.
Why, where's this leading, Hal? What are we talking about today?
Something to do with recovery. Something to do with hot and cold recovery.
You're cold-hearted.
Yeah. Hot and cold recovery, huge at the moment. Heartbreak. Big trend, hey.
Yeah.
Saunas and ice baths.
Yeah.
Or cryo. Mm-hmm.
Are you team hot or team cold when it comes to recovery?
I'm team both. I do both.
Mm? Nice.
Yep.
I'm cold. But and I said this before, I'm very iffy about it.
Hmm.
Very iffy. Okay. Yeah. So both of them have science behind them, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Both hot and cold exposure have science behind them. It's a practice that has been employed or used by athletes for a long, long time.
But they both have trade-offs as well.
But more recently have come into like trend, right? Mm-hmm. The everyday person now, you see saunas full of people.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing ice baths.
I feel like they come in and out of trend over time.
Mm, based on whatever the information that has come out recently says.
Yeah.
Well, 2,000 years ago, I'm sure, when people were in the Roman baths, in the Roman Empire, having hot baths for their health, they didn't have the evidence.
I think as lives have become more comfortable, right, it's almost you have to forcefully put yourselves in those situations now through either sauna or ice bath or whatever. Mm. Whereas in the past, thousands of years ago, we were exposed to those extreme variations in temperature due to, the environment that we're in. We didn't have the shelter. We didn't have air conditioning. We didn't have all these things. So.
The comforts.
Mm-hmm.
But why for sports, Diren?
Well, often after a game, if you're watching footy, you see players jumping in the ice bath and thing. You might wonder, that must be good for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a debatable topic.
Debatable depending on which sport or what activity you're doing, right?
It's debatable on what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah, so let's talk ice baths first.
Okay. Start cold and then we'll warm up.
Yeah.
Basically an ice bath is going to have all these benefits. Reduce your inflammation. Joints, muscles.
Constriction of the muscle, getting rid of...
Exactly. If you think of your blood vessels, ice baths actually constrict them, right?
Forcing blood out.
Exactly. Forcing blood and waste products from the exercise out. As you warm up after an ice bath, because obviously you're not going to stay in there for too long. It's very hard to stay in an ice bath for too long. After that, your blood vessel is going to open up. And then it's going to pump some nice blood through those, open up blood vessels.
As you're warming up, the blood's rushing back into the muscles, delivering nutrients, protein, everything like that for recovery.
You, you can notice a difference specifically after like a game of sport the next day if you have a nice bath or even just a cold shower. Personally, I notice a difference after basketball to my knees and my joints.
100%. I notice it more joint and mental health. Mm-hmm. And I do daily ice baths now.
Mm.
So, what does an ice bath do to your core temperature?
It increases it, does it not? Because your body is trying to warm itself up as a reaction.
Yes, you're right.
Yes.
So why are you looking at me like I'm wrong?
Most people would think your core temperature goes down, right?
Yeah, but I know this guy too well. This sneaky motherfucker.
Yeah. Damn it. I'll get you, yeah.
So your core temperature actually goes up.
But your peripheral temperature is, obviously decreasing. So if you touch somebody's skin after an ice bath, it's going to be cold, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But actually their core temperature is heating up.
Mm-hmm.
It increases metabolic rate too, right? Like your body trying to...
Exactly. So submersion in water, actually has a huge metabolic tax. So, if you go swimming, you get really tired. It's, not because you're spending so much energy swimming necessarily. It's, a lot of temperature regulation... Is going on in your body,
That works both ways, temperature regulation, hot or cold.
But that makes me think that you might be exerting more energy and therefore that's energy that could be used to help your body recover. Is there any logic there at all?
Well, you don't want to. Swimming is probably the only one, or if you're playing sport in a really hot environment, but normally you're doing it.
You're talking about an ice bath using energy.
Yeah. Is that correct?
Well, when you're usually doing it away from sports time or straight after your sports.
That's what I mean, immediately after.
It's not something you do before.
No, of course. Yeah. But if you're doing it immediately after, I don't know, I would have thought that energy could be better used elsewhere. I wouldn't say, for example, stretching or rolling down, because you obviously do all of that, but I would have thought that maybe...
Resting is...
Yes.
Some people do say resting and preserving your energy does have a benefit, but, you know... You're not going to get these anti-inflammatory, these metabolic adaptations that you're going to get from doing an ice bath.
Cold shock proteins.
But?
Yes.
There's one important thing to know with ice baths.
Is this another trade-off that you're going to talk about?
It's not a trade-off, but it's something called hormesis, which we've talked about before, the hormetic effect, right?
And this more applies post, like a...
It's more about when you do an ice bath.
When you do it and what activity you're doing it for.
Exactly. So if you if you're training, you know, training is a stressor, and as we've talked about many times, you want the stressor because you're going to adapt to the stress of exercise. Mm-hmm. What an ice bath is doing is, you know, reducing the impact of the stress on your body, so therefore it's going to reduce your adaptation.
It's blunting the impacts and therefore the benefit you might get from, say, training for a sport.
Exactly.
Which is my strongest aversion personally.
But if you're, you know, that's if you're, you know, in a typical growth, you know, or even, you know, training mentality that, you know, you need to keep building, blah, blah, blah. If it's after a game, you know, you might not really be focused on the growth of the
game.
That's what I think. You might want to recover entirely for the next game.
In time for the next training session.
Exactly.
So, like, where this comes into play is if your main goal is muscle growth and you need that adaptation in order for your muscles to grow... Mm-hmm. Then I would recommend the timing of your ice bath not be directly after a training session. Mm-hmm. It might be the following day or, you know, 8 to 10 hours later or allowing some sort of time for that adaptation. Whereas if you're a sport and you need to get back on the field or the court as quick as possible and you want to recover as quick as possible and muscle growth isn't your main sort of focus, then yeah, jump in.
I agree with that entirely. Like the way I'd contextualize that for an athlete personally is I will refrain from doing any sort of cold recovery after a plyometric session because the point is to try and, you know, build power.
Mm-hmm. Whereas you're creating that stress.
Exactly. Whereas after a basketball game, I 100% will because I notice the main impacts. The next day, my muscles aren't as sore as my knees and my ankles. And that's where the benefit for me of cold recovery comes in.
You just like jumping into a big ice bath with five of your mates.
I actually don't even bother. Yeah. No, it'd be a nice warm bath.
All right, let's talk temperatures. Cold. How long exposure? I've seen so many different variations of how long you should stay in. A lot of the research and stuff I see is around the 10-minute mark at a temperature around 10 to 15 degrees.
10 to 15?
Yeah, which is equivalent to a swimming pool in winter, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's say 10 to 15 degrees is if you hopped in your swimming pool in winter time, which is, trust me, it's cold.
Yeah.
But for me, it's not hardcore enough, I don't think.
10 minutes not hardcore enough.
Well, not at that temperature.
Yeah, maybe like 10 minutes at like 6 degrees.
And we're talking zero.
If you can do 10 minutes at 6 degrees, you're a special human.
Damn.
My ice bath at home sits around 2-3 degrees, and
that's very cold.
Yeah. Look, I can talk you through what happens, but basically it takes about a minute of just solid breathing and focus to calm yourself and to slow your heart rate down. That first minute, your heart rate's just boom, 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 boom. You're panicking, your skin's burning, you've got a mental battle going on, your joints are starting to ache. About the 1 minute 15 mark at that temperature, heart rate starts to slow and you just relax into it. And I'm not going to say everything goes numb because you can feel everything, but that intense sort of pain, that burning of the skin goes and you can settle in. You could stay in for longer than 3 minutes at that temperature, but I find it's the... When you get out and your body's trying to adjust its temperature, it's really hard any longer than that 3 minutes at that temperature.
That sounds akin to waterboarding or having your fingernails pulled out by pliers. That sounds genuinely unpleasant.
How long did we do in that ice bath down at that fitness show that time? We only did.
I wouldn't
few
even
minutes,
call it a bath, I've but seen, ice.
That was that wasn't I've an ice that. Bath. That was a bath full of ice. That
solid, looked, solid ice.
That looks like below zero, considering how much solid ice was fucking in there. Mate, looked awful.
I've said this recently a lot. Ice baths at that temperature are the hardest thing I've ever done in my life mentally.
Yeah.
When it comes to my body.
Mm-hmm.
Like a mental challenge. It is. Everything is telling you to get out of that bath. Yeah. And I don't think you ever become adjusted to it. You just learn how to deal with it.
Yeah. It's equanimity training. One of my favorite words.
You went full Zen.
Darren really likes David Chappelle, just in case anyone's
but
wondering.
But equanimity is like, you know, being comfortable, being uncomfortable, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. So learning how to, you know, not stress during times of extreme stress.
Nice.
So
That ice bath would have been down.
Yeah.
1-2 degrees. That was intense.
So that's cold recovery. So that's pros and cons, obviously.
I don't think we've closed it off yet. So the recovery, the recommendation for time in an ice bath?
I like colder temperatures for a short amount of time. I feel like that places more stress on me and I get more of a reaction and a recovery benefits yeah. than if I'm in there for longer at a warmer temperature. I think finding the balance for what suits you.
Would you say
start at like 10 degrees? I would never go above that.
Would you say 1 minute warm. Per degree? So 3 minutes, 3 degrees. That's 10 minutes, 10 degrees.
That's not a bad way to look at it. Yeah,
maybe that's a.
I would recommend that.
Okay, that's not based on any science. Just making that up, but.
Start off with a minute. If you've never done it before, just be prepared for that initial shock.
Mm. And obviously, you know, hypothermia is a thing to watch out for. If you're not used to ice baths and you stay there for too long and you don't have the appropriate means of warming up, so
warm up straight after.
Safety warning.
Throw clothes straight back on. Yeah. Try and naturally let your body warm up. Don't go and run straight into a hot shower. Yeah. You're supposed to allow your body its own time to warm itself back up.
Mm.
Now,
or regulate, I should say, not warm itself back up, regulate.
You mentioned that your body's trying to, you know, get you out of the ice bath.
Mm-hmm. My mind, yeah.
Well, is it?
Well, I don't know.
So there's an area in your brain, which, is, yeah, you're right. But it's called your preoptic area. So just, you know, on the roof of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That basically controls your response to temperature, right?
The roof of your mouth.
Yeah.
I've got to stop putting my mouth under the water in the ice bath then.
Yeah.
No. Is that why like the temperature of foods and liquids that you consume has such a large impact on how hot and cold you feel beyond more than how you feel in your stomach?
That's a different reason. Like it could be, you know, the thermic effect of food.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you know, when it's hot, your body tends to, you know, spread out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a natural response. When it's cold, you know, you might just snuggle up. Like your temperature literally controls what your body can do, right? Your mind automatically, you know, can cause your body to do stuff, right? So, you know, jump out of this ice bath, jump out of this sauna, which we'll get into in a sec. Feeling cold, might shiver, right? Like voluntary and involuntary movements, it actually influences.
Well, even getting out of an ice bath, be bloody careful. Because nothing's functioning the way it should, like your legs, and you got to take it very slow, and it's almost like your body's not functioning. Whereas you walk out of a sauna, you're feeling loose and free, and everything's sort of warmed up, and you feel great.
Yeah, you know, after ice bath, you're sometimes like tightened up, like your body's trying to get close to, you know, preserve your core body temperature, and you know, save energy from being lost.
Slightly unrelated, if you ever get the chance, go and do like shots in an ice bar. It's very fun. They give you a big thick jacket, it's really cold, and then you warm yourself up with the alcohol. By the time you come out, you just seem delirious.
You definitely did not recommend it for athletes recovery.
Do not recommend that at all. Ice bath or recent years cryo has become really popular. I've done both.
Yeah, thoughts? Same. Done cryo. I don't know. I didn't really get the same.
Nah.
You know, I'm dying, I need to get out kind of feeling.
Nah.
It was cold for sure.
Yeah.
It actually obviously, you know, gets mega cold in those cryo chambers, but.
What about hot recovery?
Nothing. Are you just trying to get to a sauna?
Yeah, kind
of. But yeah, I don't think anything compares to the ice bath. After doing both, it's ice bath all day for me. Cryo's nothing. Plus I'm like wondering, what are these gases I'm inhaling as well?
Cryo's a bit less accessible, you know.
Yeah.
Like ice bath.
It's expensive too.
Yeah. An ice bath's pretty accessible, to be honest, for a lot of people. if you, you
so know. $4 bag of ice and a bath.
I think you need a few more than just one bag of ice. Yeah. I would recommend, you know, starting minimum six.
$24 man, whatever.
Yeah. And that's why a lot of people go down the different.
I could probably use 12.
Buy a freezer.
Buy a commercial freezer and silicon up the edges and fill it full of water.
Yep.
That sounds safe.
Yep. Buy an inflatable ice bath. Inflatable. That's probably the best way to do it.
Yeah. Peak in ice baths. Do some good ice baths. Inflatable. Take them anywhere. So, yeah, cold therapy is I think it's key for all athletes.
Yeah.
And even if you're not an athlete, I think just for the mental health benefits of cold exposure have been well proven as well.
Nice.
Breathe. Breathe. That's my recommendation.
Yeah, we can't talk about ice baths without talking about Wim Hof and breathing.
Breathe. They go hand in hand. If you don't breathe, you will not survive the ice bath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What goes through your head in an ice bath? What are you thinking?
Now it's just I'm focusing on my breathing. Initially, it's fuck my joints. My skin is burning. I need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
But now it's all just focus on your breathing. You know this is going to pass within about a minute and a half, and then you're going to settle into it.
Yeah. I think, you know, knowing that it's going to pass, like, think to yourself, I'm not going to die. I know, bitch. Like, you know.
The worst part of the ice bath is the mental preparation before getting in the ice bath.
Mm.
And then that initial minute, and then you're fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The act of getting in is the hardest part of the whole
thing. It's just like swimming in cold water in general.
Yeah, like it's that, you once, know, once do you dive straight in or do you edge your way in? You're better off just diving straight in and...
No, I always edge.
anyway.
We're talking about swimming? Or?
Onto
heat exposure, saunas.
I'm actually team hot.
I'm team hot as well. But
for no other reason than I just have more access to a sauna than an ice bath.
All right, sauna opposite, right? But sort of the same principles, heat shock and proteins. And
very different timing, surely. Do you ever sauna immediately after exercise?
Yes.
Really?
That's the time to sauna.
Really?
Yep.
So sauna, you know, different from ice bath, it can actually be used straight after training. You know, it's not going to blunt the exercise stressor as much as an ice bath.
But is the purpose, again, to recover, or is it more to prolong the effect of exercise?
Well, what a sauna actually does is, you know, there's many different types of saunas. There's steam baths, there's infrared saunas, there's dry saunas, there's, you know, those other dry with steam saunas.
Traditional, infrared, and steam rooms are the three most common.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Infrared, I'm not a fan of.
I've done all of them, but
the fuck is an infrared sauna?
Well, you don't actually, the air around you is not hot. It's using infrared light.
So you sweat
to penetrate the skin.
You feel hot, you sweat, but that it's not actually cooking you like an oven.
And I find it does nothing. You know, I've sat in those for ages and I barely heat up. And I'm a sweater.
Yeah.
You put me in a normal traditional sauna or a steam room, I'm gone straight away.
Yeah, I'm a sweat. Yep.
I generally use a steam room and I sweat a lot. Mm-hmm. So, definitely stay hydrated. You know, you don't want to.
So your Tinder profile?
Oh, the steam room is my preference. The steam room's at a decent temperature.
Yeah.
Mm.
We've done a few. What was that one we did in Queensland? That was...
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was the steam room. Then we went into the sauna after it. That was pretty intense.
Something like
So speak to me the actual benefits. How does it work? What does it do? What's the result?
So one way to think of a sauna, one of the ways it works is it almost replicates cardiovascular training, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're in a sauna, your heart rate increases, right? Because your heart's beating faster to cool you down.
Mm-hmm.
It in many ways replicates the benefits that you get of cardiovascular training.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, obviously not the joint benefits because you're not running and cycling, whatever.
So how does that contribute to recovery?
By putting your heart into, one of these higher zones, zone two, zone three, mm-hmm. you're actually, you know, again, working on pumping more blood, removing these waste products, you know, more blood flowing through your muscles. Mm-hmm. The same, similar metabolic, recovery that we talked to with the ice bath.
That's interesting. So the main function and benefit it has is helping you just like elevate your heart rate without actually exercising and working the muscle further.
It releases these heat shock proteins as well, right?
Yeah. So
what on earth does that mean?
Well, they like heat shock proteins assist in removing like denatured proteins from the cell. They there's other sort of benefits
around. Yeah, so heat shock proteins are, you know, pretty much what they sound like. It's what your body releases in response to heat,
mm-hmm.
right? And
yeah. Why does your body release those proteins?
Because it's in response to extreme temperatures, so it almost goes into like a stress mode,
mm-hmm.
and it releases those as a adaptation to that stress.
Yeah.
Would they typically be used to cool the body down?
No. So they have more, I guess, metabolic effect. Right?
So they just kind of help the body function in high temperature.
Exactly.
But they also have that sort of recovery effect.
Yeah. So putting your body in these, you know, more extreme temperatures allows it to operate a bit differently. Think mm-hmm. about it like that, right? So, you know, these heat shock proteins are going to be working within your cells to, you know, help your metabolic adaptation to the heat, you know, help you cool down and things.
You don't need it, mate. Global warming, you know, soon you'd just be living in a sauna.
Mm-hmm.
So get it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I heard that.
Do you do sauna?
I used to a fair bit, but being the alcoholic that I am, I only ever did it on Sundays after a big night out because I used to help it sweat out the toxins, but now I just prefer basketball.
A lot of commercial gyms are putting saunas and ice baths in now. It's becoming like part of the gym. Is this recovery part of it?
That's the main reason I don't use a sauna, is because the only one I really have access to is in my gym, and it's always full of sweaty men who just finished a large workout and they stink like shit.
You probably do too. Get amongst 100%. It, mate. Get amongst
the,
it.
The other benefit of saunas is growth hormone release.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So yes. Saunas can, you know, a few studies have shown that they tremendously increase your growth hormone levels, right? Acutely. So not many things increase your growth hormone levels that high.
Is the growth hormone specifically in regards to muscle, like muscular growth hormone?
Human growth hormone?
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically,
HGH, baby.
No. What you're thinking of is.
I know. Yeah.
It's something different, but basically, you know, growth hormone has all these effects in your body. You know, it really regulates a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Helps your muscle growth. Helps your fat loss. Helps your brain.
HGH, baby.
Turn it up.
All right. How hot? How long?
Yeah, depends on type of sauna, obviously. You know, a steam room, you can't go as hot as a dry sauna, but a dry sauna, they say, you know, close to 100 degrees. And people are like, what, 100 degrees? Won't
Fahrenheit
your blood
or Celsius?
Celsius. Won't your blood
what
boil?
The fuck?
Yeah. At really low humidity, so of a dry sauna, you can survive at those heats.
Oh. Yeah. How long for?
20 minutes minimum.
Yeah. I'm a 20 to 30. I go for 30.
Yeah.
But
some days it's a real struggle. The last 5-10 minutes are a struggle.
Yeah.
What do you say to people who like to, some saunas have baths or whatever, do you go between hot and cold, or do you think like an ice bath, it's good to let your body regulate its own temperature?
Well, contrast therapy, which is, you know, going hot and cold, actually kind of gives you the best of both worlds. You know, we talked about constriction of your blood vessels in the cold, then, you know, opening them up in the heat.
It flushes all that shit out.
Yeah. Although, you know, there isn't that much evidence that that way of doing both protocols is that good.
You know,
I don't think there's been many studies going back and forth. There's been plenty on each, but not the back and forth. But I know a lot of athletes that do it.
I personally like it, you know.
So do I.
I have done it previously and I have enjoyed it. Yeah. That's at the end of the day, like, you know, obviously there's a whole bunch of science to support all of this information. But at the end of the day, you can kind of judge a lot of it based on how you feel after.
Yeah. If you're going to do it, I would start in a sauna and try and get 20 minutes under your belt first before you start going back and forth. Because if you're going back and forth after 5 minutes in the sauna, you're never going to really release those heat or cold shock proteins on either.
Yeah.
So that's the goal. And the minute you know that you're starting to release those heat shock proteins, you'll start to feel in the sauna, your heart rate will start to go up.
Yeah.
You'll start to feel a little stressed, and some people even start to, you know, it's a bit of panic.
Yeah.
Mm. And again.
Again, it's your body.
Breathe
it's,
through
it's
it.
It's your body telling you, get out of here. You know?
And that takes longer in a sauna, obviously, than it does in an ice bath.
Cool. Yeah.
Nice.
But, one other thing to consider about hot ice baths and saunas is that you can become adapted, right? You can become cold adapted and hot adapted.
Is that right?
Yeah. So these two therapies do tend to, you know, lose their effectiveness over time.
Does that mean you need to react to that by progressively increasing the temperature, I guess, in a sauna?
Not necessarily. It's more about finding your balance about, you know, what's the right amount you can fit into your week, or, you know, changing up your protocol slightly.
Cool. Cool.
In the week, how many times?
Well, some people say you should spend at least...
Is it more about total time?
Yeah, at least an hour of a week.
Mm.
In both?
Yeah, across both. Oh. I don't know how you do it across the ice bath at that low temperature, but...
Mm. Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe aim for a couple of sessions of each a week to start and just see how it makes you feel. Two ice baths, two saunas.
Yeah. And, it doesn't really matter what you do. Whatever you can fit into your routine is always going to be the best. Then not doing them at all.
Yeah, agreed.
And, there was a study on saunas, and it was a pretty crazy study that they followed people around in Scandinavia for a long time. People that do sauna and people that don't. And it basically reduced all-cause mortality. That means, over the many years that they studied them, people that did saunas live longer.
I've seen quite a few people live to 100 and stuff. And you know how they get interviewed by the media or that. What's your secret to longevity? A lot of people say cold showers or saunas. A lot of the Scandinavian countries. I've got a family member that was born in Finland, and it's just part of their culture, right? Every night they're down there with the family in the sauna together.
Nice.
I'll keep
that in mind. I
strongly recommend both. I'm a huge fan.
In summary, Team Musashi endorses ice baths and the sauna.
And Miyamoto Musashi was...
we genuinely don't have time for
that. He actually was the original... He was the original guy before Wim Hof.
I believe that.
No.
30 seconds, Jiren. Let's wrap it up.
30 seconds. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's no need to wait for the enemy to start combat. You go into the attack... And if the enemy decides to go in at the same time, then you must be quicker, more focused, and more resolved. No time for hesitation when jumping in the ice bath. just gotta jump in.
Good job. That was woeful.
That was nice.
Masashi out.
Yeah,
see you next episode. Bye.
Well done.